If you were to travel somewhere, or maybe you have been planning for traveling this summer, or you have already some companies wants you to apply for vacation so that they will know when you take vacation. But if you are taking vacation and you are planning to travel somewhere, where do you wish to visit? Have you already planned for your travels this year to spend your annual vacation? Have you ever visited a crocodile farm before? Have you been to a crocodile farm before? I had that privilege when we were in 2004. We were in Thailand. One of the largest crocodile farm is in Thailand, Samut Prakan, Thailand, where they sell chicken bones there, maybe 20 baht at the time, somewhere about $1. $1 a kilo of it. And we go to that bamboo bridge in the middle of the farm, the man-made lake, and throw the chicken bones, chicken rejects to the crocodiles, and the crocodiles would jump and grab those chicken bones or chicken rejects. And I don't know what I feel. I don't feel relaxed in that time, because I was thinking there were maybe about 20 of us standing on that bamboo bridge, and what if that bamboo bridge would just collapse? That is in my mind. I'm not amused how the crocodiles were grabbing those chicken, but people are just taking pictures or video of those things. And do you like that situation? I was there because we were I was in a group of short-term missionaries, and I don't want to be the make their day bad, just join. But I was very silent, very alert, and thinking of what may possibly happen at that moment. And there was this story of our tourists. They are taking pictures, videos of crocodiles in that man-made lake filled with crocodiles, and they were throwing chicken rejects and chicken bones, and crocodiles would just jump on those to grab the food. Accordingly, they sell those bones to maintain that crocodile farm. And at that moment, according to the story, I don't know if you read this, if you have read this article before, the crocodile owner shouted in a megaphone, attention everyone, if anyone swims from this lakeshore to the other side alive, I will give that brave person a reward of $50,000. Everyone was saying, that's scary. Would you like that? Can you imagine? I can imagine myself, not in a million, not even billion, I would not dare to do that. Then suddenly, someone jumped into the water and swam as fast as he can and reached the other side alive. And everyone was applauded. They were rewarded. He was rewarded, actually. And the news became viral, and reporters went to interview the man. What can you say? You're so brave to swim in the midst of crocodile, the reporter asked him. But the man answered, actually, someone pushed me and I fall into the water. So I swam so hard to escape the crocodiles, the man confessed. Then he asked his wife, did you see who pushed me? You were behind me. And his wife smiled sheepishly. lesson learned, start learning how to swim. Right, the wife pushed him and they enjoyed that $50,000 reward together. You may have heard it said, behind a successful man is a woman. And someone argued, if a woman is behind a successful man, proper recognition should be given to the woman for the success of the man, right? Right, women? What's your opinion? Another one argued, the husband is the head of the family, but the wife is the neck. Neck that controls the head. Truly, the head, if you look at a person, you readily observe the head at first glance, and seldom would anyone look at someone's neck unless it has necklace or anything that may be observed. But in a paternal society, men have dominant share of authority over women. Seriously now, how do you interpret what it declares in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24? Let's read together. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husband in everything. When wives submit to their husband, this practically illustrates submission of the church to Christ, the Lamb. The church is the bride of the Lamb. And Christian wives submit to their husband because they obey the Lord. It is obedience to the Lord when wives submit to their husbands. This is a command, meaning wives cannot easily do this. Wives cannot easily submit to husbands unless they are filled with the Holy Spirit. It requires the Holy Spirit to obey godly commands like this. By faith in Christ as Lord, Christian wives can willingly submit to their husband without hesitation when filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's an idea that many people may think. Do you believe that all humans are equally created? Now, do not answer me yet. Just internalize that. Do you believe that all humans are equally created? How do you define equal? Personally, do you know of two persons who are identically equal in height, in weight, in appearance, intellect, achievements, or dreams? So where did they get the idea that God created human beings equally? Who initiated that? Who originated that? Do they mean rights or privilege before God? Well, we can approach God by faith. But does God deal with us equally? As in the true sense or meaning of equality. In the past few years, they have been promoting equality. And it is a very nice idea, but it's not a reality. Individually, each person is unique. Uniquely created. We are created very differently from others. God shows no favoritism, though. He shows no partiality. even if He created us uniquely. So how do you interpret and explain what it declares in Romans chapter 9, verse 15? For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. We may wish to have equal privileges as children of God, but that is not possible. Humans want to create something that are equal. For example, the creation of cell phones. Cell phones, you have the same cell phones, the same model with the other person. But if God were to create cell phone, He would not create the same cell phone. That's why He did not create cell phone Himself. God deals with us not because of favoritism. God deals with us not because of partiality, but according to His mission purposes for each individual believers or potential believers too. And the Lord chooses whoever He deems as appropriate instrument for His plans and purposes of His glory. How strong do you believe that the scripture is inspired by God? The Bible is authored by God. How strong do you believe that? How strong that the Lord, the Bible contains the word of God? Don't just say, I strongly believe. Just observe how you read your Bible. That is how strong you believe. The stronger you believe the Bible, that is a word of God, inspired by God, the more you want to read the Bible. So anyone may claim, I strongly believe the Bible is true. But when we, how we behave, how we may appreciate the Bible would reveal to us how strong we believe that the Bible is authored by the Lord. So don't try to deceive yourself by saying, I truly believe that the Bible is manual for teaching, a manual for rebuking, or manual for correcting, or manual for training orderly behavior. And maybe that is one of the reasons people do not want to read the Bible. They truly believe that the Bible is a book of authored by the Lord to rebuke us. They do not want to be rebuked. Well, together, let's reflect on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, when it says, For God is not God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. God wants order in the church, among the people of God. And God gives instruction. He gives decrees so that we may know how we behave peacefully as children of God and live in righteous lifestyle, Christian lifestyle. But we also need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for us to correctly interpret and apply practically in our lives what we read from the scripture, if the scripture is inspired by God. So if the Bible is the word of God, if the scripture is inspired by the Lord and God commands, how should we explain? Women should remain silent in the churches. Let's read again verse 34 of our passage. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. Why should women remain silent in the churches? Now this controversy or this biblical command had confused many scholars and theologians in the past until this generation. And various scholars have suggested that maybe Apostle Paul addressed the women of the church in Corinth, particularly, not necessarily commanded all women in the churches around the world. When it says women should remain silent in the churches, that is not one church, right? Are they saying that there are many churches in Corinth? There were many churches in Corinth at the time when Apostle Paul wrote this passage. If they disregard or cannot agree that this law or command of the Lord is given to all churches all throughout history. There are also theologians, preachers, who asserted that it is biblical command applied to each woman in the churches because the law had been mentioned. The law. That is, when it mentioned the law, it emphasized its necessity. This is a necessity. This is the command of God. Now, what was Paul pertaining to when he mentioned the law? And many theologians or interpreters or commentators suggest that it's the law declared in Genesis chapter 3 verse 16. Let's read. The Lord said to the woman, I will make your pain in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, the pain of childbearing, who gives, who made? The Lord God. The Lord God made it. And the Lord commanded that Adam will rule over Eve. The husband will rule over the wife. If this is the law that Apostle Paul used to emphasize his instruction to the Corinthian women who should remain silent in the churches, the term women may pertain to wives who have husbands and should not particularly include any single lady or widow. Remarkably, Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31. Let's read. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. All. What does that mean, all? All can prophesy in turn as Christians. Man or woman can speak. Surely women can be messengers of God also. You have Deborah and the daughters of evangelist Philip. You are a good example of that women could be messengers of the Lord. Since Apostle Paul said that all can prophesy in turn, man or woman, why did he forbid women or wives to remain silent then in chapter 14? Now, since the context is about church peace and order, this particular command for women to remain silent can be interpreted as guide for a specific situation in Corinth accordingly. Bible students suggest that since the letter of Paul to the Corinthians was personally wrote that letter, Paul did not write a dissertation. Paul did not write a thesis. Paul did not write an essay. He did not follow a specific, literally, theme. Although Apostle Paul was a doctorate of Jewish laws, he wrote to the Corinthians as if he was writing to friends. Or he called them children or brothers and sisters. Apostle Paul then may have just inserted solution to problems that came to his mind when he was writing. The problem came in, then he just write it and added it to his letter. And the Corinthians understood that particularity of what he told them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as her having her head shaved. Now, Apostle Paul did not prevent women who pray, women who prophesy with propriety. Just do it properly. Interpreters suggest that chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians could be rule for a smaller group of Christians, while chapter 14 is rule for the entire church. But obviously, that is not specified. Paul did not say, oh, this chapter 14 would be a rule for the entire church and chapter 11 would just be for smaller groups. He did not say that. But still, proponents of the rule for women should remain silent in churches point out and connect the dots to what Apostle Paul instructed in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Let's read together. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. Timothy was a disciple of Apostle Paul, and Timothy became a pastor of an Ephesian church. And accordingly, in Ephesus, women, those who worship the Ephesian goddess Artemis, the goddess for hunt or nature, Artemis, women were leaders. And so when Apostle Paul wrote this, when he restricted women from teaching in the Ephesian church, he may have reacted particularly against the Ephesians idolaters who were led by women. And in Ephesian church, Apostle Paul wanted that Christian women need to behave appropriately so that there will be difference between Christian women and those Christian leaders who worship the Ephesian goddess Artemis. But reflect on it. Should women remain silent in church like women in the church of Corinth and church of Ephesus? Does the scripture emphasize that such rules for women should be followed all around the world in all generations? God is not God of disorder, but God of peace. God is God of peace, as in all congregations of the Lord's people. So peace and order, this should be emphasized and prioritize. If discussion about women to remain silent in the churches cannot cause the church to be to have order and peace, then we should not dwell in that situation. Anywhere around the world there are rallies about climate change, rallies against oil, rallies, political rallies, I don't know, whatever they want to rally. And protesters may also attend to disturb the peace and order, even if they are rallying peacefully. The worst is when bad elements may try to hurt attendees in those rallies, and we have heard in the news, people would use vehicles to go and drive through those rallies. But why do protesters disrupt a peaceful rally? Maybe they want a change. They want to install leaders who would adhere to their idea, to their agenda. And sadly, similar confusion had actually happened in the churches. Instead of peace and order, there's commotion, there's conflict happening because of selfish agenda. And disgruntled people urge innocent attendees to join their cause. And confused attendees have no idea that they were recruited to disrupt peaceful gathering. When influential people try to disturb peace in the church, what should we do? Praise the Lord. Really? Do we praise the Lord? Why? Because that's part of persecution. And persecution is a biblical mark of true disciples of Christ. When somebody is disturbing the church, don't feel bad. Try to sense if the Holy Spirit is in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit would say, see, you are doing what is right, and you want to disturb that. Persecution is biblical mark of true disciples of Christ. It happened in the first century Christianity. It can happen in our time, anywhere, in any church. Reflect on Acts chapter 13, verse 50 to 52. The Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul and Barnabas were persecuted, and it added, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. What? Yes. If you are a true disciple of Christ, when there's persecution, that is, well, we cannot say you need to laugh or something, or no, but you sense deep inside that joy that you belong to the children of God. Very interesting, right? God-fearing women, it says. God-fearing women. Can you go back to verse 50? Jewish leaders incited God-fearing women of high standing. What does that mean? They were influential women. They were God-fearing. They were exemplary among the community and leading men of the city. They were misled. They were misled. Misled by the Jewish people who were against the gospel of Christ. These God-fearing women of high standing, leading men of the city, did not know that they persecuted messengers of God. They just listened to those Jewish people who incited them. So whatever we do as children of God, the enemies of Christ tries to persecute us. But despite persecution, we can still sense joy when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Confusion happens when interpretation of the scripture is not guided by the Holy Spirit. Those Jewish people, they are very eager to promote Judaism, but didn't understand the scripture because they were not filled by the Holy Spirit. They just listened to what their leaders would say. The church in Corinth was confused. There was no peace. There was no order. They have division during activities. Every attendee wanted to speak. Every attendee wanted to prophesy. And Paul instructed that in the churches, there should be order. And women should remain silent and not speak. Let's read again verse 35 of our passage. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husband at home. For it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Now, women were advised to ask their husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. The term woman pertains to a wife who has husband. There are many women, but not all women have husbands. Are single ladies and widows included or not? What do you think? And the term speak here is translated as preaching, chatter, talk, or utter, formal or informal. And women have option if they need clarification, they should ask their own husband at home instead of voicing out their opinion during church gathering. Why was such instruction given to the Corinthians? It promotes peace and order. That is the purpose, peace and order in the church. It was not to degrade. It was not to reduce women as lesser being in the church. It was for peace and order. Accordingly, in the first century, public speaking was essential for communication, education, and teaching religious tradition and practices to younger generations. And public speeches were valued as with importance. So the word said publicly should convey, should communicate truth that builds deeper fellowship and relationship. In simple language, congregational assembly, gatherings of Christians should be utilized productively for serious instruction and formal edification in education. So informal talks or friendly chatters should be done on non-formal gathering or free for all open forum, if you would. Maybe we can learn together from what Acts chapter 18, verse 24, 26. Let's read. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with thorough knowledge of the scripture. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and thought about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Now, do you know that the baptism of John is baptism of repentance? Now, here it says, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, Priscilla and Aquila are wives and husbands. Observe the name Priscilla. Priscilla was the wife of Aquila. Aquila was the husband of Priscilla. But the name of Priscilla here was written first before the name of Aquila. In Hebrew, literally, the person mentioned first is given more importance. This is why most of the time the name of the Lord is written first in a sentence. Because the name of the Lord is the most important. In here, Priscilla was mentioned first before Aquila. And it means that Priscilla must have been recognized as more educated or better communicator than her husband, Aquila. They heard it. They heard it when Apollos preached. But they did not try to argue with him publicly. They did not say, "Hey, Apollos, that's not enough. That is not adequate." What they did, they invited him to their home so that only them would talk heart to heart. And most probably, Priscilla explained to Apollos the way of the Lord more adequately when they invited him to their home. Now, here is a biblical example how educated wives may show respect to their husband. This is biblical. See, Priscilla did not teach Apollos in public. She discreetly avoided that to happen. She did not want Apollos, the great preacher, to be embarrassed, or that a woman is better equipped than the great preacher. If that happens, oh, not only Apollos would be humiliated, even his husband Aquila would be humiliated. Why? Christian behavior in public is much better than to assert right opinion. Of course, we know that there are many women who are gifted and great communicators. But biblically, for peace and order in the church, married women should publicly exhibit respect for their husband. If they remain silent during church gathering. Why? If women are more talkative during church gathering, it is misunderstood, it is misinterpreted that they dominate their husband, that they control their husband. And that is a very sad situation in paternal community. Together, let's seriously reflect on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 to 15. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborated hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Reflect on this. God could have created woman first. But God formed Adam first, then Eve. A woman can bear children without a man. In the eyes of God, he can do that. Do you believe? Can you believe that? Can God enable a woman to bear children without a man? The Lord Jesus Christ was born of Virgin Mary. That is one great example that God can do whatever He wishes. So a husband or a man should not be very, very proud that we are the ones, the first, who are created, not woman. No. God created man first, not because He favored Adam over Eve. It is a mysterious design of God for mankind that practically displays divine sovereignty. What is divine sovereignty? The choice of God. God, it is His godly choice. It is God's design that He deems best for mankind, for Adam to be created first. He did not say, I favored Adam because he is the first. If the first is really favored, think about of the many things that are first in the Bible. The first king of Israel was who? King Saul. But he favored David, the second king. The first son of Jacob was Esau. And they were twins with Jacob. But the Lord favored Jacob. God does not favor the first. Although there are first who are favored, it doesn't mean but we are first, you are favored. No. You will be glad if you are first or you are second. Not because you are favored by the Lord, but because you were created for His glory. Whatever, however you were born, first, second, third, fourth, or last. But of course, humans cannot totally agree with the divine design of God. Why? Because our human intellect is limited. We are not equipped to understand everything that God, that originated from God. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, we agree that God's design is always favorable for believers. So whatever He instructs, it is favored for us. Do you believe that? Let's learn from Psalm 119, verse 35 to 33 to 35. Let's read together. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. This is the psalmist speaking. We cannot readily follow command of God by our own human effort or intellectuality. We just resist it. We need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So when you read the Bible, oh, I do not agree with this. If that is your first reaction, it means the human nature is at work. The human intellect is at work. We cannot disagree. That's normal. That's natural to humans. We cannot disagree immediately at once to the Word of God. But to believe that God knows the best, whatever He decrees, whatever He commands, whatever He says, whatever He instructs is the best. Ask the Lord to increase by your faith to believe that. Help me, Lord, to understand this. I just cannot agree right now. But help me understand that you know the best for me. And help me follow your command. By faith, we sincerely accept that for peace and order in the churches, God decreed that wives should remain silent in the church. And it's also a practice of faith in Christ to trust that His godly instruction will lead us to the path of delightful experience of life in its fullness, He promised. We rememorize that passage in John 10:10, where Jesus says, I have come that you may have life abundantly, life in its fullness. But we just cannot go in, oh, let me discover that. No, we can discover that life in its fullness when we follow instruction, because His instruction lead us to that path of abundant life that Christ promised for believers. This is why we are called believers, because we obey, we follow. We cannot say, I am a believer. Oh, many people would say, I am Christian. But if you are not following the instruction of the Lord, then you are not a believer, even if you claim that you are a Christian. And many people actually want to be named Christians. But it doesn't mean that if your name is Christian, that you are already a believer. That is not. Because it is the Holy Spirit of Christ who enables us to believe and follow the Lord. In our prayer, may the God's grace and peace prevail in us for us to diligently obey Him honestly. Amen. Let's stand up and let's pray.